Blog Talk Radio.
Show up.
Welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Our special feature today, we are still dealing and discussing the issue of elections. As you might be aware, Zambia voted on Thursday in excellent and overwhelming response and turnout from the citizens. ECZ actually reported 1.7 or so people were added to the voter roll from the 2011, I believe, voter roll. This morning, I'll be your host, Nathan Nkama from Dallas, Texas. We'll be talking to Dr. Nevas Mumba. He's one of our great supporters. He believes in what we are doing here. I can't even count the number of times Roger Dr. Mumba has been on this show, and we always appreciate his availability and also joining us all the time to be on the show. After our discussion with Dr. Mumba, I asked and invited, I'll call him a gallant Zambian. I'll be talking to him today for the first time, found him on Facebook. After I read the very nice article he wrote on elections in Zambia, this is Dr. I hope I'm going to say the first name right. Dr. Grive Chelwa is a postdoctoral researcher at Harvard University and is also a contributor at Africa is a Country. Dr. Chelwa, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Nathan. Thanks for having me. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, you are very clear, very good, and we're looking forward to get your input, your analysis on what we are going to discuss with Dr. Mumba and, of course, with our regular contributors here. Okay, I think we are ready. We can go to Lusaka. Layama, is Dr. Mumba with us?
Yes, he's on. Go ahead.
All right. Dr. Mumba, welcome, and I'll use the Pemba expression, mapusukeni from the campaign trail.
How are you? And thank you so much. By God, great to have you here. It was an exciting period. Memorable.
All right. Okay. I hope this will go very well. Somehow, your line doesn't sound clear, but let's go ahead and see what can happen with this. The people of Zambia, Dr. Mumba, turned out, I believe, in large numbers. We commend the citizens for doing their part, and they voted. This was on Thursday, 11th August, the day that all of us were looking at. Could you please, from your perspective, one of the leaders in our country, how is the mood in the country right now?
Well, first of all, thank you, Nathan, for the opportunity to talk about what's happening in our country and enlightening you on some of the democratic steps being taken. And to all the listeners, I'm grateful for you to allow me to come into your home, and I hope that we'll have an engaging discussion. If you were to come today to Zambia and drive along any road, especially in Lusaka, I'm not sure about the other towns, I've never seen what I'm seeing. It's quiet. There's no single noise. The streets are almost empty. People are in their homes. There's no sound you can hear. It's like the country has frozen, awaiting some event to happen. So it's a real amazing time. It's an exciting time, but amazing to the extent that this is a very important development, and people are very expectant of what is going to happen, although they are tense because this is so many hours later, and the Electoral Commission has only done 29 constituencies. So it's a very strange feeling in Zambia at the moment. But mm-hmm. we hope that the ECZ can free the Zambians to become themselves in the next few hours.
I would like you to confirm something, because we in the diaspora are being accused of inflaming things, inflaming information. I read on Al Jazeera, Dr. Mm-hmm. Mumba, that the government has deployed the military personnel in Lusaka, Zambia, and in Dola streets. Is that true or it's false?
That is absolutely correct. Yesterday, the president ordered soldiers from Kalewa Barracks to move into Ndola and also into Kitwe. And at the same time, something very strange happened yesterday. The entire Independence Road, which leads to State House, was closed, including every other route that leads to State House. And the soldiers were manning that. And so that really has created tremendous anxiety of people wanting to find out why on earth would the president wish to bring the soldiers on the streets when the country is so quiet and so peaceful. So basically your position is correct. Al Jazeera is right. We have soldiers now on the streets.
All right. Thank you for that confirmation. I needed to add, because we in the diaspora are being accused of inflaming things and all those kind of things. Let's go to the election process. Would you say the electoral process from, I don't know where you want to pick the argument or conversation from, would you say the process, the platform, the whole thing was fair and free?
First of all, it is very important to understand that having a free and fair election in Zambia is relative, and we have to accept the circumstances within which we operate. And one of those is that we start with this race knowing that as opposition we are disadvantaged. We do not have access to public media, that's number one. Number two, our rallies were heavily compromised because they could be cancelled at whim. Many times we'd be in Luapula, for instance, campaigning, and then the president would decide to come to Luapula. We have to leave Luapula immediately. The president makes an intention to come. One time we went to the Copper Belt from Luapula to run away from the president. When we landed after one meeting, we heard that the president now wants to come to the Copper Belt and we must leave town, and we have to leave town and go to Northern Province. So it's a situation where obviously we have to work within that environment, unfortunately. So from that point of view, there is no fairness in terms of accessibility to, you know, the media. But in terms of going to vote and allowing people to exercise their right to vote, I think that is something that we cannot complain about, because the Zambian people on their own came out in such huge numbers, making history, only, you know, equated one or the other to the 1991, you know, voter turnout. So I think that that has comforted us as the opposition, that in some areas we're having up to 85% voter turnout. And so really it's the first time, and we are hoping for the best.
Those issues of not having a fair platform or a level platform of doing your campaigns and all those things, our system, who do you complain to? Electoral Commission of Zambia? Or are they even able to address those things with the government? Because our institutions seem to not to have that courage or capability to confront government.
Yeah, listen, Nathan, this is my 19th year in politics, so let me just put it out there. Who do you complain to? No one. Nobody. You can complain to as many as you want, but it means absolutely nothing. First of all, you cannot complain to ECZ, because ECZ is not going to do anything. They are totally, you know, scared of the repercussions of seemingly listening to an opposition party or leader. You can't report to the police and expect justice, because they are really under, you know, on a leash from government. So we have to live with Mr. Kanganja, the IG, who does what the president says. Then you go to the courts. We have reprieve in the courts, and I can't make any comment on that organ of government. I think that it's one of the very few that is left there that we can somehow depend on. But I think there's no way you can complain. You can't complain to the president. You can't complain to ECZ. We just have to work within the environment. Listen, this is like you trying to fight a champion in boxing. You don't just have points and overcome. You've got to nail him to the ground. You have to floor him. You have to bring him down for them to say that you have won the match. Otherwise, the champion remains champion. And this is what we're doing. We are determined to knock the champion down, so there will be absolutely no doubt that the champion is down and out. And I think that's where we are at the moment.
Okay. It's exactly, I think I can comfortably say, is it 3 days now? The polls closed on Thursday, 1800 hours Zambian time, which is 6 p.m. for those who may not understand 1800 hours. Certain parts of the country, certain constituencies, from my understanding, opened probably almost close to closing time, 1600, 4 p.m., and they closed in the wee hours. Even in the UNIP government, Dr. Mumba, these things were not happening. What is going on with ECZ, in your own opinion?
Since independence, we've never had a situation really in terms of a proper election where we have to wait almost, we are now going towards 48 hours since the voting ended. And so the Constitution tells us, so the regulations say that within 48 hours, the results must be out. There's absolutely no sign that these results are going to be out within 48 hours. We, as I speak to you now, we have only done 29 constituencies out of 156. So you can imagine where we stand now. What is the interpretation for that delay, which was deliberate? First of all, I want to confirm that, you know, the ECZ has found itself in a very difficult position. They know and they have the figures. Because we have our PDT and we know by how much we have won. And they have the figures as well. And so they have to find a way in which they can manipulate those figures in one way or the other. And they're having meeting after meeting with soldiers, they're having meetings with the police, they're having meetings with different groups that are going in and out of State House to try to find out how in the world can they overturn this. They have to deal with about 350,000 votes above what we need, and we have those. How they're going to deal with that or make them disappear is a big challenge. So they are delaying in order to create an opportunity where they can overturn this. And what they have done additionally is to do exactly what UNMIC used to do. If you remember in 1991, when they lost power, they were strong only in Eastern Province. So they started to announce the results from all the constituencies in Eastern Province, giving Kenneth Kaunda a perpetual lead on television and radio for close to 12 hours. They never touched the rest of the country, where MMD and Chibuba had really outstripped them. But there came a time when they had to face it and go to the Copper Belt, and it was a whitewash. And I think this is what they have done. They have gone to the strongholds of President Lungu, and they have been announcing those results in the past 36 hours. And so they have not even touched the strongholds of UPND and our alliance that we're working with them. And so I think that soon, in the next hour or two, they're going to run out of votes in the strongholds of PS, and they are going to be forced now to continue to announce the votes from across the country. And then the truth will come out. But they are not going to do it willingly. We are going to make them do it.
Somebody might argue, Dr. Mumba, and say, oh, wow, you just said 29 constituency. Why don't we wait until all the constituencies are announced? And first of all, we would, I would also like to secondly commend the opposition for holding their restraint. You've got the PVT, and you have the figures, as you are saying. How do you respond to somebody who says, why don't you wait? Why don't we wait until the 156 constituencies are all announced?
At this rate, Nathan, if we are to wait for, this is 29 constituencies after 36, 38 hours. So now let's use the arithmetic. I think that we will not know the president until I don't know when, if we have to wait. And then the dangerous part of that is what is going to be happening during the free time we are going to give the patriotic front. A desperate man can be anything and even set the country on fire. The quicker the announcement is made, the better. You know, one thing we love about the elections in the United States is that as they are taking place, reports are coming directly, and the media catch them and announce them on the spot as they are coming in and being totaled. And there's no one in between to try to deal and work on the vote and, you know, keep it for 16 hours before they can release it to the next organ. Then the next organ takes the ECZ, and the ECZ they take it to the totaling center. There's no process like that, because that process is what they use to, you know, play around with the vote. So I think we have been here before, and for me, who has been in government, it's not a strange thing. In 1991, when government has been changed, listen, to win an election, Nathan, is one thing. To get power in Africa is a totally different process. There's not even any relationship. President Chiluba won with 76% of the vote. But that was no guarantee that he was going to have power. It took Godfrey Lianda at that time to grab power out of Kaunda's hand and give it to Chiluba in order for that to happen. And that has to be, it has to be tact in how you do that. The same thing, when the power was put in from Mr. Rupia Banda to Mr. Sata, Winter Kalimba had to go to ECZ with the PVT and sign and say, these are the results. Can you please announce as quickly as possible? We want to move on with life. And that's how come they were forced to announce those results. So this is the general trend, and today we are making a demand that they announce the results, because the results are there and somebody trying to appease someone, and I do not think it's fair. There's too much anxiety in the country. Zambia is on a nice edge right now. This silence throughout the country is not normal. It is actually a dynamite in waiting, and nobody should misunderstand this silence to think that Zambians are happy. And so we hope that the ECZ can quickly make the announcement.
Dr. Mumba, you just alluded to the Constitution. It says 48 hours. Within 48 hours, the results, all the results, I presume, should be known, should be, the nation should be told, and whatever goes with that. So in the in a situation where the Constitution has been flouted, I don't know. I don't know if you are even able to address this, but give it a shot. So what happens when 48 hours has been not obliged to or adhered to? Who is supposed to be penalized in this situation?
Well, first of all, they penalize the security of the country. That's the biggest penalty that is there, because beyond that, you know, you cannot control the feelings of the citizens, and you cannot manage the anxieties that are rising. So I hope that they are able to do it within 48 hours, which is coming to us in the next few hours. But I think we are going to help them. Number one, if they are failed to add, because arithmetic was not a strength of everybody in school, and so maybe if they are not able to add quickly, we have already added. We already have authenticated the results from the polling stations across the country, and we have been going through it thoroughly to make sure that there is no mistake. We have the certificates to support those numbers, and so in the next hour or two, we are going to take those figures to ECZ and to ask them to compare them with whatever they've got and tell the Zambian people that they have a new president. And so we hope that they're going to cooperate in order to curtail eventualities of insecurity in the country.
Excellent. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Our special election feature is Dr. Nevis Mumba. He is joining us from Lusaka. He's giving us his perspective of what is going on the ground and the electoral process. Roger, I'm getting messages. People are failing or having problems to get through to the show. Probably those listening and you'd like to call in, what you do is add the number 1 and then that 1-347-237-4270. At times it helps if you do that. A lot of people are having challenges. Let me give you to my friend in Canada, Roger. You've heard what Dr. Mumba said so far. I don't know what you want to ask him.
Yes, Dr. Mumba, welcome again to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We've been doing analysis starting from yesterday, and this morning we also looked at the credibility of ECZ. The question we were asking, and I'd like to hear maybe from you, is what happened? 1991 you referred to, the elections were, results were ahead from the constituency, and everyone got the results. Why did we change to what we have today? What happened? Can you please fill us in?
Well, first of all, Roger, how are you doing today? I know you are
I can't complain. I was in Zambia, but you were too busy. I couldn't see you.
No problem, yeah. Listen, yes, you are absolutely right. Zambia has gone through major reforms in the electoral processes. We had the electoral reforms, you know, even when I was in government. As vice president, I remember I presided over those electoral reforms. We took them to parliament. And so, yes, there have been changes now. So the process now is that, you know, the results are counted at the polling station, and then they are moved to the totaling center, where all from that region, from that area, come together. And they are added up and counted, and then they are transmitted electronically, physically, and telephonically to the main campaign center, so to ECZ. So there are those processes which, in my view, have really created an opportunity for government to manipulate the elections. But yes, you're right, Roger, there have been changes in the electoral process, and one of the changes is the one you have rightly described.
One more question, Dr. Mumba. We hear reports from Southern Province that the G12s are missing, and this is where I think your team's stronghold is. How true are those reports, and what is ECZ doing about it, about the missing G12?
We have taken some steps, really. Some of them are not missing. The G12 are there, but the elections officers there have refused to sign them or authenticate them, and because of that, we are, as I speak to you, working on the G12 issue, and we are confident that whichever way they look at it, we are going to make it happen, and we are going to collect all of them. And I think after this call, I'm going to find out from our colleagues on the ground whether we have achieved that. And all that is being done in a way that they don't want us to continue with our PDT. They didn't know we had a PDT going on. When they found out, then they started to withhold the detailed form. But we have a way, we are going to work around that. And so that's what we're going to start in our way today in that regard.
Excellent. Thank you, Roger. There was the issue, Dr. Mumba, of somebody who strayed into the, is it server room? I don't know whether that's the correct language for IT people. Somebody strayed into the server room or an area of ECZ in the computer system where they were not supposed to be. I don't know what the situation is on that issue, whether it has been addressed and the nation has been informed. I don't know what information you have on that.
Now, he did not stray into the server room. He actually deliberately, unknowingly, unconsciously went into the server room to go and alter the figures concerning President Etech. Those were specific instructions from President Lungu, and that has now been established because this Chabuma guy has been arrested, and he has confessed that he came from KBF, which is Mr. Kevin Waria, who is the deputy campaign manager of PF, who gave him instructions together with Mrs. Isaacs, who is the lady, the director of elections. So the commanding has been between President Lungu, then Mrs. Isaacs, and Chabuma himself, who is under police custody now. So they went there with a clear intention to break into the servers of ECZ and manipulate the numbers and the figures in favor of the Patriotic Front. Fortunately for us, he was apprehended at the right time, and he's been put away, and he's the one who has given this information to the police, which I'm giving to you now.
Excellent. The electoral
in the
process,
meantime,
Dr. Yes, go ahead.
In the meantime, we have decided that we have done a letter asking for the immediate removal of Mrs. Isaacs from this process because she has been highly compromised. And we have also gone to court to restrain her from being part of the rest of this process. That's how serious we are concerning this election. We are leaving absolutely no stone unturned. We would not want the Zambian people to have a raw deal this time. And therefore, we have taken every necessary step to ensure that sanity is maintained at this time.
Okay, let's. I think we need to understand you very clearly here. Are you saying that you are requesting for Mrs. Isaacs to be removed from participating in this process going on right now, or you are asking her to be removed completely from her job?
Well, both, actually. You know, what they do with her later on after they suspend her and do whatever, it's in the hands of, we are going to be in government that time, so we can make that decision then. But as an immediate move, we have to make sure she's away from this process because she's already compromised. And, you know, the process of removing someone from office, you know, takes time, and I would not want to be unfair. She has to be heard, and she has to give a statement, but we don't want her to be doing that while she's in that seat. So we have asked for more.
What should the citizens, or what should we do, Dr. Mumba, as a nation to really and seriously reform our electoral process? Because we can't keep on going through this every time we have elections. We have done so many elections, this is totally unacceptable.
There are several things we can do. With every successful government has a vision. First of all, at the very barest minimum, we have to make the Electoral Commission as an independent body. When they say it's independent, they are lying, because first of all, the commissioner, who is Mr. Chulu, is appointed by the president, and therefore his allegiance is to the president and to the ruling party, and we have seen that in many, many ways. So first of all, we have to make it as an independent electoral commission like our colleagues in South Africa have, our colleagues in Ghana have. That's the level of independence that we are looking for, that they will not be threatened of removal or punishment. So I think that is the barest minimum. As long as the Electoral Commission remains a body which is not totally free to make its own decisions, then we are really playing games. Secondly, we need to give constitutional powers, legislative power, or rather constitutional powers to the Electoral Commission, where they have enough power not only to police, but also to punish those that break electoral regulations and rules. For instance, if somebody is caught during the election cheating, and the issues that catch them, not only should they make it clear that he has done this, and after the election you can petition it and do it. I think the Electoral Commission must have power to actually nullify the participation of that particular candidate. But they don't have those powers. They can only tell the police to take the case, but even then, they can't do anything or remove him from the ballot because it needs to go through the courts of law. So they need to be given powers not only to apprehend, but also to punish those who offend electoral rules. I think those two things, for the sake of the radio program, would be extremely important. Beyond this, it would be too technical and too much information, like you Americans said.
Excellent. Are we able to go electronic? What do you think? Can we make our system? Namibia has done it. Why can't Zambia do it, Dr. Mumba? At least in the urban areas, which most of Zambia is. Yeah.
Yeah, semi-automatic according to our levels. There's nothing that stops us, but I think that we have not invested enough in that regard, and therefore there's a lot of fear on the part of stakeholders that going electronic all the way means that we remain vulnerable because the system, the new system, has not been really explained and verified to the comfort of the stakeholders. So I think until that happens, it is always going to be a very difficult step to take, completely.
Okay. Excellent. We appreciate everybody and all your messages on social media, those that are listening and are sending messages. They say they appreciate your information that you are sharing, Dr. Mumba. Let me go to the phone lines now and allow people to ask your questions. Please, let's be brief and to the point so that we can have as many people as possible can participate. Dr. Kasonso, United Arab Emirates. Go ahead.
Dr. Mumba, good evening.
Good evening. Which Kasonso is this? Is this my Hillcrest Kasonso or somebody else?
You always mistake me for that, even when we met on the plane in London. I am the smallest of us all. This is Alex Naokolombo has stated in dollars. So anyway, I am now in the EU. I am an instructor of financial accounting. I just left my place in Washington, D.C., and I just came here like 2 weeks ago. So, but anyway, I wanted to just to say that I have tested the election results that I have been published so far. I have tested them statistically and see the trends and the manner in which the election victories can be claimed either way. For example, the Patriotic Front have put up a public information on the fact that because they won more parliamentary seats, the presidential election should trend in that direction. But after testing the numbers, I found that in the ratio of 3-1, the Patriotic Front needs to win 3 seats, and the UPND just needs to win 1 seat for the UPND president to actually sustain a 51.1% a win over the 47% for the Patriotic Front. My concern with the trends and the numbers that I've looked at so far is that although it's plausible that the UPND gets a majority in the presidential vote, but lies behind in the parliamentary vote. And also looking at it from a geographical standpoint, you could see that geographically, the Patriotic Front would have covered more regions, although the UPND would get more of the population in terms of the vote. If your president goes ahead to become the Republican president, how do you deal with the perception that it's a minority president because of being localized to or winning the vote based on just a small part of the country, whereas the majority of the country has voted in a different direction? So, for example, here, I can just give you the numbers. From the first 26 that were announced in the terms of constituencies, the UPND only won 6, the PF won about 20 of them, approximately 20 of them. So, but the numbers in the UPND strongholds are much higher than the numbers in the PF strongholds. Of course, elections are a game of numbers, but regionally speaking, how do you run away from the notion that even if your candidate went ahead to become the president, he is not a minority president?
Absolutely. That's a fantastic question. And maybe let me use that question to update our diaspora. It's an interesting question. Let me start with your last assumption, which is correct, that I can even go further to tell you that in this election, the Patriotic Front may get more than 75-80 members of parliament. The way we have calculated it, because it's all part of our PVT, they'll get up to 80 or 75 members of parliament. Now, what does that mean? It is not the first time that parliament has had more opposition than those in government. Under the Mwanawasa administration, when I was vice president, MMD had less members of parliament than PF and UPND combined. So we had to do a lot of, and I was vice president then, and I remember I spent a lot of my time trying to go between the two political parties on all major issues that we brought to the House, which is very good for democracy, that a government cannot be arrogant at all. And so that is number one. But our situation is a bit unique, that we have a situation where almost half of those 75 members of parliament for PF, their seats will be nullified. They'll be nullified because of the ruling that we have in our hands, where it has become clear that Mr. Lungu illegally kept those ministers in office, both full ministers and deputy ministers, more than 46 of them, and they use government resources, they use government vehicles, government fuel, government telephone talk time in order to advantage themselves to win the election, and by extension, helping their president also to get more votes. So the the nullification will come, the fact that they abuse state resources and they did everything and they have compiled all that. So we're expecting that within the first few months, those about 40 of them will no longer be members of parliament. And when we go back to part two election, I'm sure we're going to get a number of those seats on the government side. Now, that's two. The third issue is what you raised in the beginning about geographical location of these seats. You must understand that the reason why UPND president Aichet is going to win is because for the first time we have worked hard in the Northern Bloc. If you remember, you know, we have spent, GBM, myself, and Mao Sampo, we spent the past 1.5 months in the Northern Bloc of the country, and we have traveled almost every day and night. And if you notice, through the Copper Belt, Lopla Province, Muchinga Province, Northern Province, you are going to notice that the performance of HH has increased tremendously to almost half and even beyond half of the...
Okay, it looks like we lost him. Roger, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I thought, because at times my phone just drops, I don't even realize that I've dropped. Okay, I'm sure that you said, well, we will reconnect him, and we shall pick it up from there when he comes. We have about 10, 12 minutes. And then after he's done, we're going to have an analysis and a discussion. I invited Dr. Chelwa here to give us some to go through some of the things that he has raised. My main concern is, Yama, you let us know when you reconnect him. My main concern, I'll be very honest with you, Roger, it's these issues to do with the constitutional requirements, okay? I don't know how those things. Bottom line, without even laboring the whole process, I'll be very honest with you. We do not respect the rule of law in our country. We don't.
No, I mean, that was from our previous discussion. It is the rule of man. Yeah, we may have all these things written down, but at the end of the day, the rule of man. So if anything, what Dr. Mumba, we have to go by what he has said, why the delay, they are delaying. I think to me it is adding up. People want to do something bad. But this is Zambia. I'm sure there is no room for them. They will succeed. There's just no way they will succeed. We are peaceful people, and the winner at the end of the day will prevail. And hence, we need to put pressure here. We need to put pressure. I remember when RB was trying to play games, we started to...
Excuse me, Roger. Dr. Mumba is back on.
Okay, thank you. We'll continue. Yeah. Dr. Mumba, please continue if you are able to remember where you ended and the point you were making.
Yeah, I just want to finish that. It's a very important one, which my colleague does. So there's been a raised percentage in the Northern Bloc for HH. And really all that it means is 25%, 30% from Wafula, 30% from all these other places in order to win outright. Because the PF, since last year, January, have not in any way made any dent in HH's stronghold. That is Southern Province, Northwestern Province, Western Province, Central Province. It's as solid as a rock. The only thing that has happened is that there was a lot of voter registration push in those areas. So what has happened is that that block has got so many voters as a result of the drive that was there, to the extent that while the Northern Bloc in this election has recorded between 40% and 51% voter turnout, the other block, where HH is strong, has registered between 72% and 85% to almost 90% voter turnout. This have seen anything like that. And so, in terms of numbers, popular vote, I think that it's a runaway trend. It's a runaway trend. So I just wanted to answer that question. I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant observation that my brother made.
Okay. Thank you. Before I let Kambo and then I'll go to Kelvin here to ask their questions. As at now, Dr. Mumba, how many parliamentary seats or MPs has UPND won?
This is in our PDT. As of now, we are looking at 55. We are sitting at 55. We are hoping to have more. But they're sitting at 55. They are sitting at about 80 or 80 something themselves. Yeah, 55.
Oh, yeah, 55. Okay, good. Our good friend online is asking how many MPs UPND has won so far. 55 is good because
I have to make it clear. This has not been announced yet. I'm giving you the PVT. Yeah.
Okay. You're giving us the PVT. All right. Campbell, New York, please go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Mumba. Good to hear you here again. Yes. I have a question. UPND has just released a statement saying you are aware that there have been meetings already, and I think you mentioned it yourself. What is the path? Let me ask it this way. If the armed forces and police are now involved, what is the path of recourse for the UPND and the opposition? Where do we go from here?
Can you ask that again? I missed that. If the police and the police, they do what?
Yes. UPND just released a statement to say they are aware that there was a meeting of the Joint Chiefs and Police Inspector General with the president in order to collude and basically declare President Lungu the winner. If that is the case, what is the path of recourse that the opposition have?
You know, this is what I'm saying, that this is not the it's no longer in the hands of Hakainde Hichilema or GBM, myself, or UPND or UPND-MNB Alliance. It's not there anymore. It's now in the hands of the Zambian people. I think that what he was proposing in that meeting to them was that they find a way to declare a state of emergency. We do understand that the military chiefs advised him that there was no violence in the country or insecurity to demand for such a harsh measure. Unless the PF cadres begin trouble across the country. And then they say, because of that trouble, we are going to have a state of emergency. So I think if they proceed on declaring, I don't even know how they are hoping to declare the leader, I think it will be one of the most unfortunate developments because the Zambians will fight it and it will be unsustainable. And I don't think that. The commanders would be so naive to want to go in that direction. We understand the resistance, a lot of proposals made by the president. But if they go ahead with it, we are ready for them. And we will work with the Zambian people to nullify that action.
Excellent. Let's go to Indianapolis. Kelvin, please go ahead.
Thank you, Nathan.
You are faint. You sound far away.
No, I'm here. Chungulopo Mkwaiba Mumba. I have two questions. The first one concerns what we've talked about on this show regarding confidence in the institutions in Zambia, and you alluded to that when you doubted the confidence in the Electoral Commission, especially the commissioner who is appointed by the president. Now, in my thinking, I think you're talking about that because things don't seemingly be going well for your candidate right now. what would you do different if you were the president vis-a-vis appointing of the commission of the ECZ? That's my first question. The second one is, in the event that Hakainde Hichilema wins this election and becomes president, what is going to be the role of the MMD? Because I believe you are still president of the MMD. Are you going to abandon ship and join Hakainde's government? Thank you.
Let me start with the second question. You know, for the sake of the diaspora, I know that you've been following the media reports on the challenges that we are going through as a party, our MMD in relationship to Mr. Rupia Banda and Mr. Mungu's interference in our party. I am president of the Movement for Multi-Party Democracy. On the 25th of May, the UPND and MMD signed a memorandum of understanding to work together towards the coming this election of the 11th of August. In other words, that we combine our resources, we combine our membership across the country, and support one presidential candidate. And my situation was such that Mr. Lungu had put in $2 million into an MMD to create the confusion that was going on at that time. But we are grateful that the Supreme Court pushed them back, and their efforts have been nullified, reinstating the status quo of the Movement for Multi-Party Democracy. But at that time, there was no way, although I had already given my name to the ECJ and paid the deposit to stand as president, there was no way that I could proceed because we had to do a lot of work within our party to stabilize it further. And we also felt that Zambia needed a better deal. And in our consultative meeting with the UPND, they are the ones who approached us time and time again until the National Executive Committee of MMD voted by 95% to enter into an electoral alliance with the UPND. So we do have a memorandum of understanding to that effect. Now, moving on, the arrangement is that we shall share government in the running of government between MMD and the UPND. And then we will continue to be a separate political party for the UPND, that we work together in this kind of government. And it's not the first time it's done around the world and also on the African continent.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Kelvin. As we continue, we'll take about two more questions.
The other question, the other, sorry.
Yes, the other question,
also
yes.
About, yeah, on the, the chairman of the Electoral Commission. We have insisted, and this agent and myself have discussed, that there must be an independent way of getting the chairman or the commissioner of an independent electoral commission. So they are, that person will not come from the president. And I think that we need to do that almost immediately so that there's independence in that regard for them to run a professional election, which is free and fair. So yes, that's exactly what I do for our president, and I think that we do it in this
alliance. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Let's go to, is it Montana? Dr. Kalonde?
Yes, yes. Dr. Mumba, thank you for coming to the show again. And I should say that this is honorable, you giving us this honor at this critical time to come and chat with us. It's very important that we hear what is happening on the ground from a person of your caliber. Unfortunately, we haven't had luck to have people from the other side to come on the show. I spoke personally to, I don't think I should call him Dr. Kambwili because of the university that gave him that.
I'm a
professor.
It's a peaceful discussion here.
I just want to say it.
You are a doctor.
Okay. What I wanted to say is, before I ask my questions, I just want to tell you that I think you should convey this message to the people back home on the ground that the whole process of delaying these results is putting too much stress on us in the diaspora. This is not good for us because we care about our country just like you care about that country too. So giving us this stress actually, somehow you are killing us. You are giving us blood pressure. You are giving us the heart problems that we don't have. Now, My question is, Dr. Mumba, is this. Is it possible that you can ask on our behalf, probably not others, basically probably on my behalf, that when the ECZ announces elections, they should also display the G12 resulting sheets and their verified results. That way we can see where their numbers, the disparities in the numbers. That's one. Two, the other thing that I want to ask you is, what kind of help do you want from us in?
Hello?
Dr. Kalonde? Okay.
I'm back. I just wanted to say, what type of help do you want us to give to the people of Zambia as people in the diaspora during this time? Because we can't just be waiting without participating or giving help that we can. Please, just ask us what you want. If we can do it, we can help in the process because we are part and parcel of the Zambian elections and the nation as a whole.
Okay.
Yeah. Not to waste too much time. I think I've taken note of your earlier comments and submissions. On the last one, I just want to say, there's always something you can do, but you're so far away. And this gesture of putting us on blog radio to sort of update this information, sharing with you, is going to bounce back on the Zambian social media and eventually end up in some of the print media and also on radio stations because they are monitoring it right now as I speak to you. So that's a major contribution that you are making right now. We're hearing your views, we're hearing your concerns, and we're also catching the passion that you have for your country. And if you think you're having high blood pressure, I think exactly today, imagine what's going on in Zambia where now people are not even getting out of their houses. It's more than high blood pressure they're experiencing. So, we're in this thing together, and we are suffering together. And I hope the ECZ understand the pressure and the pain they're placing on the Zambian people.
Okay, excellent. We are about to conclude. Let me allow one more question. Rajisewe, I know you are doing the technicalities, but do you have a question for Dr. Mumba?
Pastor Nathan, go ahead. Give someone else.
Okay.
I'll make comment after he leaves.
Okay, you may comment after you leave. Okay, you want to do the update. Okay, let's go to Florida. This will be our last question. Alan, please go ahead. You are on mute. Okay. Alan, we can't hear you. Let me address one question that is coming through social media, Dr. Mumba, as we conclude this discussion.
Yeah. Can you get me now, Nathan?
Okay, please go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Dr. Mumba, good evening. Real quick. As much as personally, I appreciate all your contribution and leadership, whether in the church or in the political arena. However, I think I have to ask one question that comes up in discussions we have around that. When you were in office, say that when you were in office as vice president of the MMD, some of the things that you complain about are things that you didn't find fit to complain about then. So how much credibility can people really attach to your complaints when you were in office? They didn't seem to be major issues. Is it because now you are in opposition, and so if you were to go back in office, you would turn a blind eye to them like the rest of the people who are in power usually do?
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, let me say that there were a number of things, many things, that we found in office that as a result of our presence in government, we changed a lot of things to bend towards the interests of the Zambian people. So those things maybe are not seen because they were good things. And so some people may stand on the fact that we did tolerate the bad things. It is in our constitution, and it's important for you to know that once cabinet meets under a certain president, and they make a certain decision on an issue that might be unpopular in the nation. Unfortunately, even a regular member in that cabinet is bound to what is called collective responsibility. Once it is tied that, yes, the taxes are going to go to those levels, and cabinet endorses that cabinet memo, even with my disagreement with it and vicious debate in cabinet not to have it happen, the moment it is agreed by cabinet, Labor Smoker keeps quiet, and he can take his concerns somewhere else, but he cannot break from the collective position on that issue. So that's basically how government works. And that's how, if you want to blame people individually, unless they have unilateral power to run government, that their decision is what is followed, their decision is the correct one, then you can blame them in that manner. That I was only a vice president, to a very intelligent, hardworking president who had his own view and his direction and how to run the country. And when I look back, I don't think we were wrong about Wanawasa, because under his leadership, Uganda's debt was totally dissolved. The economy grew in a manner that we had never experienced in the history of our country. So I think some of the things we did were tough, but I think that they work. They are the same ones we are enjoying today. So I do agree with you that sometimes we look like we are tolerating what is not popular, but that's the decision of cabinet.
Excellent. Final question, Dr. Mumba, as we conclude. This question keeps coming up, and I'm sure you have dealt with it many times, but I'll put it this way. It has been raised on social media as our show has been going on by a lot of people. I'll put it this way. What do you see your role being in this process, in the political process, being a Christian leader, man of God, pastor, international speaker, author? What do you see your role in this political process, especially in this volatile, sensitive situation?
Well, I think one of the roles is exactly what I'm doing right now. I think I'm trying, using my capacity, of course, to speak, I'm able to explain what is actually going on and give understanding to the Zambian people as to the intentions of this alliance in the government. Our goal in the past 3 months has been to make sure we win the election and change government. So we do not sit in one corner and start to share jobs and in order for us to do what we have done. We've done it because we want to make sure we give Zambians a good deal. And I think that if there's no manipulation of the election in the next few days, Zambians are going to have the deal that we've been fighting for. And so I continue to, like the last rally, on the behalf of Christians. The last rally, I had to address Christians specifically who have taken sides and said that Mr. Lungu is a Christian and Mr. Hakainde is a Satanist. And I need to late to let them know that there's only one way that God puts in his word in determining where a Christian is, and he takes by their fruit in Matthew 7 and verse 20. And therefore, I did mention that one of the first things I discussed with HH and GBM before we accepted to work with them was that they had to make a commitment that the declaration of Ghana as a Christian nation, which was initiated by the MMD in 1991, would be respected by this new government. And they pledged to it 100%. And I did say to thousands and thousands of people in our last round that if at any point the President Hakainde and GBM decide to backtrack on that commitment, I promise the Zambian people that they will hear this voice again, and I will stand up against that position and challenge my two brothers that wasn't the deal for the Zambian people. So they do know that there are certain things that I stand on that I will not compromise, and that's basically why I joined politics, to be the salt of the earth, to be the light, and if I can't be the light, then my presence there is unnecessary. If I cannot be the salt, then my presence within the process is not necessary. That is why I take tough decisions, difficult decisions, in order to remain engaged as the salt and the light, in order to make my country a better country that depends more on God and also justice and equity in the distribution of goods and services.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our show today. Dr. Nevas Mumba, we shall talk to him later when the dust settles about the MMD and the way forward. Dr. Mumba, we are always thankful for you taking the time to talk to us, enlightening us. You have actually addressed quite a number of issues. We do thank you, sir.
Thank you. You're welcome, Nathan, and to everybody. Thank you for having me on your great program.
Our love to Mama Florence.
Yes, I'll do that right away. Thank you so much, Nathan.
Bless you. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was Dr. Nevas Mumba, who has been on the campaign trail with UPND. What we are going to do right now is we're going to review, analyze, and just look at some of the things he has raised. At the beginning of the show, I mentioned and I introduced Dr. Grive Chelwa, who is a postdoctoral researcher at Harvard University. I asked Dr. Chelwa to join us just to give a synopsis or just some of the things that Dr. Mumba has addressed. Dr. Chelwa, before I ask you a specific question, I don't know, I would like you to make a general overview of what Dr. Mumba said.
Nathan, again, can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, you are good.
Okay, great. Obviously, I mean, being far away from home, I'm not on the ground like Dr. Mumba is. So precisely, I mean, there's very little comment I can make in terms of what's going on behind the scenes, because I have no sort of access to that. I mean, the only thing is just to talk about the numbers, precisely the official numbers on the Electoral Commission's website, and to also, just like Dr. Mumba has alluded to, also just mention that it's kind of a bit depressing that this is now exactly 48 hours after the polls closed on Thursday, and we only have results for 18% of the constituencies. I think that's a bit disappointing. I can imagine a lot of people are anxious, nervous, want to get on with our lives, but we can't get on with our lives if we don't know the outcome of such an important election.
Yes, it is. One thing is, before I allow the other colleagues to come in, one thing that we're here is that these constitutional issues, you heard me say, personally, my position is that in home, I won't even say Zambia or back in Zambia. I'll use this word so that I'm not crucified. Back home, I think we don't respect the rule of law. We have no respect for the Constitution. Number one, do you think there is a redress for these 48 hours? It's a constitutional matter, 48 hours. ECZ and whoever is responsible has failed. Number two, I do not think the ministers are going to pay back that money that the court has said they pay back. I know somebody may say, you cannot say that. I can. I'm a Zambian. I've been around for a long time to know we don't respect the law. I don't know how you want to respond to that, Dr. Chelwa.
Unfortunately, there's little I can say there. I can only agree with you. I mean, unfortunately, I'm an economist and not a constitutional lawyer or legal expert. But I can only agree with you that I think the most important thing is if we have some stuff written down and we agree as a country that we're going to follow these things that we have written down, I think it's important to sort of follow them. I mean, especially now, like you said, this 48-hour rule has elapsed, and up until now, we only have results for 20% of the, about 18% of the constituencies, and it's a bit disappointing, to be honest. But let's wait and see. Maybe there'll be a big push but between now and maybe midnight Zambian time. Maybe there might be a big push, and they might release a big chunk of the results.
I don't know if I know you are giving a percentage. Do you have an actual figure of how many constituencies have been announced?
Yes, I'm looking now here at the Electoral Commission of Zambia's website. It says that 29 out of 156 constituencies.
29 out of 156, okay.
Yeah.
You said what percentage is this? 18?
I think it works out to about 18%, more or less. Math is correct.
All right. In any academic system all over the world, 18% is a fail. It is a fail. I'm sure Bakalonde, everybody agrees with me here. I mean, you don't need to be smart or whatever to... 18% is fail, period. Bakafundisha wengi hapa, bakasonse, bakalonde, including yourself, What else did I want to bring up with you? I don't know. You heard me raise issues with about reforming the ECZ. I don't know what you'd like to comment on that. Where's Bamwata here? But Dr. Chelwa, I don't know. How can we, I don't know. Just say what you need to say about reforming the ECZ. I'm determined. I said here that I'm taking it as a personal project. I'm going to reach out to the U.S. electoral system, whatever authority, I think that's what they call it, to find out how we can engage them to help our country, whatever, whether they've got some old used machines for ballot papers, whatever, Dr. Chen.
Yeah, you're right about that. I think as we strengthen our democracy, one of the most important things is that the tool or the entity that runs our elections should be perceived to be independent. I mean, that's really important in terms of, in terms of going forward. I mean, those who voted for the winning party versus uh-huh. those who voted for the losing party should have sort of trust, especially the people who voted for the losing party, should have trust that the entity that ran the elections was independent. I mean, they did their work independently, and they were above board, and the results that have been presented are fair. I mean, when we write exams, for instance, when I used to write exams, when I wrote my grade 7 exams for the Examinations Council of Zambia, my studying was motivated by the fact that what I would put in is what I would get. And I think this is what we need also. Now, I think fair assessment is to say there's a perception that the Electoral Commission of Zambia is not 100% independent. I think some of the things Dr. Mumba alluded to them when he said, for instance, the chair of the Electoral Commission is sort of nominated by the president. Of course, Parliament has to ratify. But I think that interaction there whereby the president nominates the chair might compromise the independence. I mean, it's not direct, but there's that perception that it's not entirely independent. And we have to think carefully about ways in which to make it independent. We have to learn from our neighbors, our peers, and so on.
Exactly. And he gave examples. Now I'm throwing this Kuli Bamwata. This thing keeps coming up, Bamwata, of independent ECZ, independent electoral commission. He gave us examples of South Africa and Ghana. Okay? Well, I know we may argue and say, no, South Africa is a different story because of whatever, but Ghana, Bamwata, independence of the electoral commission. I mean, what do we need to do? What's the way forward here?
Well, one of the ways in which we can have the autonomy, or make the ECZ autonomous, is to have an elected body instead of one appointed by the government. Alternatively, we could have body that is constituted from parliament as opposed to being appointed by the government. The problem we have in Zambia is that we got the president in a lot of things. He's got two long tentacles reaching into almost everything. I think that needs to change. In the United States, we have some local elections that are held for certain positions. Mm-hmm. And I think if we were to talk about the concept of decentralization, I think we may want to begin with that we have some representatives from different regions or maybe at provincial level and start battling out for the position of chairmanship or whatever, members of the commission and stuff like that. We need to have a separate election for that. Or we have something that is molded from parliament. I think one way or the other, but let's get the presidency out of it, and constitute a body that has, like Dr. Mumba mentioned, that has constitutional powers to not only make decisions without recourse to the president, but to make decisions and meet punishment where one is found wanting. So if we have such a body, I think we will probably be somewhere close to what we are looking for. At the end of the day, we might get ourselves a system that we want. But one of the things that I need to, while I'm still on the mic, I wanted to comment on is he did not spend much time on explaining this. Dr. Mumba mentioned that the president has barricaded himself in State House. I mean, I don't know what the panelists feel here, but is that indicative of something we need to be worried about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We have reached the 48-hour mark, and I remember the time we removed, what is his name, Arabi from power. We started to call State House. We have to start to call everyone. I don't think this now we are going to be as frozen as everyone else. Kunganda, what can we do to post a Maboko? Who can we call? Can we call State Department? This is now going to be second gear. We have to start to be proactive. The defense of our democracy, unless we just come on radio and express the brilliantness of we are, some action has to be taken, Nathan. We have to. 18 hours, which is 200 hours, which is 8 p.m., we should have another show.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to start to call everyone. And now this is beginning to go beyond what the Constitution requires. Now we need action. We do need action, Ramwata, you are very right.
Before others come in, this is what I wanted to mention, that we'll continue to do we will continue to be proactive about this situation until the matter is concluded, and even after
that,
we'll still continue. Pay attention to our Facebook page, Zambia Block Talk Radio. If you haven't liked it, please go like it. We are also on Twitter at Zambia Block Radio, or you can check Roger's Facebook page, Titus, and myself, okay? I don't know from which angle you wanted to come in. You've heard a lot of things Dr. Mumba said. You hear Bamwata's comment about us, should we get concerned about this? You heard what Roger said. What say you, sir?
The first thing Vanevas Mumba mentioned about the advantage President Lungu has, because he has the officer, the police officer, the helicopter, all this is the taxpayer money. You know, this is taxpayer money. And this thing, I mean, sometimes let's not just be stubborn like I'm a leader or I was chosen to be a leader. You are dealing with people's sweat money. You know, even for myself, when I'm calling Zambia, it used to cost me 15 cents. This government went in and it's costing me 40 some cents.
Oh.
Why? It's because they increase the taxes so they can collect the money. So nobody's going to tell me that you're not doing anything to contribute to this economy, so you don't have a voice. You know, every time I want to send something back home, the government, the money they're collecting from some of the Western Union money, it's coming from Zambians here. So, I mean, so they can have the helicopters, so they can have the Mercedes to drive around. So another way, you have to be accountable to the people that you're representing. Don't just be stubborn like it's your own money you sweated for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like we are talking about the minutes I have, we shouldn't be looking to them like, you know, leave the position if you don't want to be.
Go and find another job,
Yeah, get another job. If you don't want to be faced with questions and to be accountable with taxpayer money, leave a job. You know, don't go get a private sector job, you know.
Some numbers, Nathan.
Go ahead.
We all know area code. These are landline to call ECZ. I've called them before, and they answer. Please, we need that pressure. If you have a pen, the number to call 37-75-25. Those are landlines. We are going to continue to provide the numbers. We are going to find the numbers.
Give the full number. The people need to know that there's a difference in calling a cell phone and a landline in Zambia. Give the full number.
Yeah, 260, area code for Lusaka, 211, and then the number 37 7-5-2-5, 3-7, 7-5-2-5, and there are a lot of them, 7-2-5-2-6-2-7 as you go. Yeah, okay. Some 49, up to 49.
Yeah.
So
here is
there's
the thing,
a chance.
Wait a minute, Kelvin. Here is the thing, Rakalonde. You see, the reason I asked Dr. Mumba the question about whether, military personnel had been deployed into the streets, it goes back to the same thing we are being accused of being in the diaspora to say we sensationalize things. I hope I said that right, okay? Mm. Oh, we depend too much on the internet or social. That information, a friend of mine warned me and said, go to Al Jazeera and look at what they are saying. So I asked somebody, and they respond, and they said, diaspora, as usual diaspora behavior, you are sensationalizing a situation. Bakalonde, I want you to address this thing because I think people need to understand that we love and we are as passionate about our country as those on the ground.
Well, it is very, very, very disturbing that this has begun to happen, where we have our government that basically we put in office, whether we voted for them or not, we put them in office. And before even there is somebody to raise a finger to point at somebody or to poke in somebody's eye, they are putting the military on the streets of Lusaka.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
This is what I've said here on this forum, that dictatorship does not start like somebody, something happened. Dictatorship starts by using the military and the police on the people.
Can you imagine?
Just by the word, just a word, somebody becomes a dictator. They do not become a dictator by slapping somebody or by shooting somebody. They become dictators by...
The military have been deployed on the streets.
Yes, they are. I've just been talking to my older brother who is a priest. I've talked to my young brother who is a doctor there, and they've just told me that, yes, they have the police and the military on the streets of Lusaka and Copper Belt.
Kelvin, you didn't hear when I... Hold on, Macalonde. I asked Dr. Mumba that question because I got a heads up from a friend here. I got that information from Al Jazeera, not Post, not Zambian Watchdog. And that's the reason I asked him the question, is it true that we have military personnel on the roads? He just confirmed it. He added on to say something which I didn't know, and I believe most of us here can attest to not knowing. He said, independence avenue from the High Court, that portion which covers State House has been blocked off. He said that. You see, that's why we do the things we do on this show, because this information, you will not get it from the Zambian media. You will not. All right.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
You finish, Dr. Kalonde, and then Kelvin, you'll conclude the day.
Yes. Now, what I was trying to say is this. You see, in terms of change of government and those such things, the issue of putting the military on the streets, and these military personnel, they are not working with sticks or with the buttons. They are with the rifles, with guns strapped to their shoulders.
Can you imagine?
And walking the streets of our cities when there is no fight anywhere. What is the president anticipating by so doing?
Can you imagine?
Now, let me tell you one thing. I've mentioned this. You remember we had a situation in Ivory Coast with the Laurent, his name was funny to pronounce, the last name, Gabo, whatever you pronounce it.
Something like that, yes.
Where is he today with his wife? Does Lungu want the same thing to happen to his wife and his daughter? This is serious. When we are dealing with politics, honestly, I'm a professor. I'm not supposed to be participating or discussing these things. Honestly, I'm comfortable. But you know what? There is passion to my country. I love where I come from. And I love my people back home. Do not dictate to them what you want to do or what the government wants to do. the government is going the wrong way, and the government must be stopped. That's why I asked my neighbor Smumba, what do you want us to do to help the situation?
Yeah, but come on, let me stop you there. We have 4 minutes remaining. I want. We are running out of time. I want us to wind up. Yeah. Kelvin, you want to conclude this? We have 3 minutes remaining. I want us to finish off here.
Okay. What I wanted to actually talk about is the presence of Nevas Mumba. I wanted to ask him what his stance on GBV is, because to me, he's supporting a running mate who is a heartbeat away from presidency of that country, and this is a well-documented individual that has abused women, not just his wife, he has abused his sister-in-law. Being a man of God...
GBM.
Yes, being a man of God, how does he account for supporting such a grouping? What is the message he's putting across to the women in Zambia, to you and my sister? What message is he promoting? Sometimes the problem is these guys do not have integrity, okay? You can support HHGBM, but look, question yourself. What is it that I'm doing supporting these guys? And that's why I asked him, are you going to abandon the MMD if Ichilema won and gave you a government position? Because he's done that before. So some of these things, Nevas Mumba is going to come here telling us about the flaws in the ECZ because things are seemingly being manipulated, in inverted commas, towards the PF. Nevas Mumba would have turned a blind eye if this election was going in favor of the UPND, and this is what is wrong in the Zambian system. We tend to promote
what you're
our
doing, Kelvin. That's what exactly
Excuse
what
me.
You're doing. You're turning a blind eye. Makalonde,
Makalonde,
this
is what is wrong in the system,
Kelvin,
in Zambia.
I need to conclude. I need to conclude here. Let me thank my special guest, Dr. Grive Chelwa. Thank you, sir, for taking the time. We are always here on Saturday morning starting at 9 Eastern time. And whenever you are free or you are available, please feel free to join us.
Thank you, Vanessa. I really enjoyed participating.
Excellent. Everybody, like I said, we'll continue to look at this issue, like Roger said, call ECZ and demand answers and action on this thing. The number has been given. Look at our Facebook page, Zambia Block Talk Radio, Twitter at Zambia Block Radio. Next week, I hope to see if I can get John Sangwa, constitutional lawyer, to address some of these things, or one of the pastors I really respect in Zambia, Fortune Mwiza, he has chosen not to be partisan, to discuss the role of clergy in Zambian politics. We thank Dr. Mumba for his time, Daniel Chisebo for helping with the technicalities, my colleague Roger Chali for a job well done in the first 2 hours of the show, and everybody for calling in and participating, all our online listeners, we appreciate you, Australia, Europe, and Asia, and even within the United States. Do have a great weekend. Azazi wakuti akula, azazi otawa mavuto, alimumanja mwake. Kapena azazi wakuti hafu niko limba, chifukwa ni mwamuna, hafu niko vuti kila banja. Kuti ni bambo wa nyumba, helo asatae wana, siunga ziwe, aza kutunga kutogoro.